The scripture reading for today is taken from Romans 12th chapter, Paul's letter to the Romans 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2. Very familiar passage of scripture. Look that up in your Bibles and follow along as I read. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is the second sermon in the series on exhortations to be. As I said in the introductory sermon, to exhort someone is to strongly urge them to think about or believe something or take some kind of action. All of the examples I'll be using are based on the little word be, and they relate to something we are encouraged to be. The word being has to do with the nature or essence of a person. So these exhortations or words of encouragement apply to our Christian nature, our Christian being. And they exhort us to be transformed and also tells us how we should go about doing that. First of all, let's think about this concept of transformation. The word is used a lot today, the transforming and transformation, transformational. It's almost a buzzword. The word used in our text is metamorpho, our English word metamorphosis comes. We think about that when we hear that word about a butterfly, don't we? About a cocoon and the butterfly coming forth out of the cocoon, the change that takes place in that process of from a caterpillar to a butterfly. Paul exhorts us to be transformed. He says that the word means that it's going to involve a complete change in the appearance or character of something or someone. To me, the operative word in that definition is change. If a person becomes a Christian, and if we stick with it, if we keep on living and growing as a Christian, one of the things that we're going to have to reckon with at some point in our lives is change. There's going to be some changes made. There will be changes that we need to make. There will be changes that will be happening in our lives. Paul strongly encourages us to be transformed. That means that we can expect that there will be some changes that will be taking place. And if we're all thinking about it in the right way, we should expect that. And we should welcome that for that matter. After all, if we were all perfect to begin with, there would have been no need for Jesus to come. There would have been no need for Him to lay down His life for us to make it possible for us to be changed. Where we weren't perfect. And we needed Him, and that's why He came and laid down His life for us. If we do what Paul encourages us to do, there will be changes in the way we think, in the way we act, in the way we behave. There will be both inward changes that other people might not be able to see that we're aware of, and there will be outward changes, so much so that some people can see them, and sometimes these are so apparent that people might look at us and say, what has happened to you anyway? What's going on with you? You're not the same person that you used to be. You've changed somehow. And that's the process that takes place within us when we are being changed by the Lord. Let's be very clear about this change matter. There is no magical way that this happens overnight. The Lord does not come by with some kind of a change instrument and zap us and change us in an instant or overnight. It happens, and it does not happen instantaneously. Now, sometimes a person's conversion may happen instantaneously, but the change that ensues takes a time. It takes sometimes a lifetime. And probably a lifetime isn't even enough for most of us. But it will continue to change. It is a process that takes place in our lives. It may start quickly, but it takes a certain amount of time to finish it all up. I would also say that the rate that we all change, the change takes place within us, is pretty much up to us. In other words, we are definitely involved about when it comes to us being transformed and how much that takes place, how fast that takes place, or what we do or don't do really matters in our lives. Not only does Paul encourage us to be transformed, he also tells us how to go about it. He says that we are transformed as we are renewed in our minds. Be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Renew your mind. Why do we have to have our minds renewed anyway? We've all had our minds conditioned by the world in which we live, by all kinds of lies that have come to us in different ways. Our minds have been built up. We have built up in our minds certain ideas that are not according to the Word of God, that are not according to the truth. And sometimes we don't even recognize it. Our minds have otherwise been subjected, and in a sense, we have been brainwashed by the world, many people, and we have been affected as well. We have been given false information. We have sometimes allowed that false information to come into our minds and to shape our thinking about things. As we look out into the world, sometimes the lies that we have been told affect the way we see things. In the past, it was the newspapers, magazines, radio. More recently, it has been TV and social media and movies. And add to that all of what we were taught in the school systems. All of that we have been told. All this information that has been piled into our minds. Much of it is wrong. Much of it is false. And depending on the source, of course. Needless to say, when we have come to Christ, we begin to realize that our thinking has been fashioned and shaped, and it is not always good the way it has come out. It has not always been in line with the will of God. It has not always been in line with the truth of God as we see it in the Word of God. And so, when we become Christians and we realize that our mind has been shaped by these other forms and factors, we must make a choice. Do we continue to believe all that false information, or do we believe the truth of God's Word? Renewing our minds, then, is that process that takes place when we replace all of our old thinking with a whole new perspective. That is the perspective of the Word of God, the perspective of the truth, the perspective that God gives to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. It is a biblical perspective, which is quite different from what the world offers us and what the world has given us. As you know, we are told in the world, we are told that the knowledge that we receive in the world is not faith-based knowledge, but is materialistic, secularistic, and hedonistic. Now, that last word simply means pleasure-oriented. People looking for pleasure. People looking to form and fashion their lives apart from God, without any reference to God. People that want to have life the way they want it and live it the way they want to, with all the emphasis on things. You know, some people say, I've got all these things and they're important to me. I've got to hold on to these things. And sometimes the things hold on to us, don't they, if we allow them to. So That is why our culture, which was once considered Christian, is now called post-Christian. Are you aware of that? That our country is no longer considered Christian, but it's called post-Christian, which means after Christianity. There was a report about a Christian leader who came here from another country. And when he arrived, he got down on his knees and kissed the ground. And he said, "I've reached the promised land." He thanked the Lord publicly for the missionaries who had come to his country and led him and much of his country to Christ. But after living here for a time, he was asked how he felt about our country then. And he said, "I think it's time to send missionaries from our country back to yours." Because he was disillusioned. He saw so many things that were not Christian that needed to be changed. The situation has changed. And we all have to be very careful these days because it's so subtle. It's so subtle how this information, these different kinds of the various forms of truth come to us. And we have to screen them. We have to strain them out before we allow them to grab hold of our minds and our thinking. Sometimes people are thinking in a certain way and they don't even realize where it all came from, what the source of it has been. We have to guard our minds from taking in all the garbage that is so prevalent. You know what it says about computers. It's just like our minds. Our minds are like a computer. Garbage in, garbage out. That's why we have to guard our minds about what we allow to come in and to take root. All the misinformation that is available. We're told that nowadays many people get most of their information, most of their news, and they get most of their so-called truth from social media. I've also heard that much of that information is wrong and is definitely biased. How many Christians spend hours upon hours going through social media, going through, you know, looking at their smartphone and all that, but only a few minutes, if any, in the Word of God? Well, you can see how that overloads us in a direction, the direction of the world. Because I've also heard that 90%, up to 90% of all the information that we see on Facebook and so forth is not true. I don't know if that's right or not. But we know that there are great, great, powerful tech companies in our country and who are more or less biased and fashioning and forming, letting things happen as they want to and blocking other things. And some people aren't even aware that it's happening. We have to be very careful about the source of our truth today. The more that we put the Word of God into our life, into our hearts and minds, and the more we read and study God's Word, the less the lies of the world and the enemy, who is the god of this world, will influence us and shape our minds and shape our thinking. You know, he's always there trying to feed us lies, trying to get us to believe something that is not true, trying to base our whole ideas and our lives on things that are not true. He is an enemy, and we have to be aware of that. Once we begin to think differently, it should affect the way we talk. It should also affect the way we behave as well. As we take in that truth, as we compare the truth that we have received from the world and the truth that we receive from the Word of God, we will be changed. We will become a changed person. And that should be the goal. That should be the desire of all of our hearts, to be changing in our lives. Now let's think about the outcome of this change. Paul tells us about that as well. For he says that once our minds are renewed, we will understand the will of God for us personally and for all things in general. God reveals His Word, His will, in His Word. And if our minds are clouded with lies and misinformation, we simply cannot understand the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That's another reason we need to immerse ourselves in God's Word. The words of a hymn say, "Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hand that wonderful key, and it shall unclasp and set me free." Knowing God's will and doing it will set us free, my friends. It will set us free. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free, will set you free." Some people seem to think that to become a Christian will restrict them, will make them change their lives in ways that they don't want to change, that they are enjoying living and being like. But the truth of the matter is, when the truth is received into our hearts and minds, then it changes us in a way that is right and best. We are going to be free, not just to do whatever we want to do, not just to do any old thing, but we are going to be free to choose what is right and what is best. It seems that many people today in our time want to do their own thing and live their own lives to please themselves alone. Doesn't matter about anybody else. Doesn't matter what God desires. Doesn't matter what He wants from us. We want to do what we want to do. That can lead to disaster. And it often does, as we see in our world today. You know, there's one thing I can't understand. And that's why the suicide rate among teenagers has risen so dramatically. Just think about that. Young people, teenagers, who've lost, I guess they've lost all hope. And they don't feel like there's anything that can ever going to be any better, that nothing can ever change. And so they just want to end it. But I can't understand why they would do that. We believe that God has given us life, and it's precious. Every life is precious, whether it's a little baby, whether it's a young person, an old person, every life is precious to the Lord. It is God who has given us this life, and He's given us and put us here, given it to us, and put us here for a reason. We all have a purpose. And when we discover God's will, when we discover what it is that He wants us to be doing, what He wants has in mind for us, we will find, I believe, that it is good, that it is pleasing, and that it is even perfect. I said earlier that God doesn't zap us with His power and change us in an instant. But He most certainly plays a part in our transformation. Once we become Christians, we receive a gift. That is the gift of the Holy Spirit, who comes to live within us to enable us and empower us to change. We don't have to do this on our own. In fact, we can't do it on our own. We don't have the power. We don't have the ability. But He is able to make it happen. He is able to give us what we need in order to change. When we fill our minds and our hearts with God's Word, you see, what we're really doing is we're giving the Holy Spirit something to work with, something by which He can root out the old and bring in the new, and help us to change our minds and also change our lives. You know, sometimes we wonder, how is it that a person can change? Well, I believe it works this way. When we put God's Word into our lives, the Holy Spirit can take that, and maybe He'll point out something to you, maybe He'll show us something that is inconsistent with our Christian confession of faith. And so what needs to happen? Something needs to change. We need to change our mind. We need to change maybe the way we're living. We maybe change the way we're talking. And I'm not talking about a coarse way or anything like that, but maybe we go around saying, "I'm a man of or a woman of faith," and then what we let come out of our mouths contradicts that. So it's a complete, total change that the Holy Spirit is doing, encouraging us to change, helping us to change our lives, our change our behavior. Because not only does he point out areas that we need to change. Now, I know some people might say, I don't need to change. I'm just okay the way I am. I'm okay, you're okay. You know, there was a book written several years ago called I'm Okay, You're Okay. Remember that? You know what happened to that guy that wrote that book? He killed himself. He wasn't okay, obviously. And yet he was going around telling everybody, I'm okay, you're okay, but we're not okay. We will be okay if we submit to the way that the Lord wants to work in our lives and help us. Encourage us to change our thinking or our behavior. For the Holy Spirit enables us to not only see what is wrong, but to change what is wrong in our lives. Why is he doing that? Because he is making us more and more like Jesus. He's changing us more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. We are becoming like him. We will continue to do that. We will continue to change. We will continue to be more like Jesus. How long will we do this? Until we see him face to face. And then we will be changed because we will see him as he is. We will become completely like him. Let me close by sharing with you the words of a song that I think we're all aware of, that maybe we've heard before. A chorus that should really be the desire of our hearts as Christians and the prayer on our lips each and every day. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me, all his wonderful passion and purity. O thou Savior divine, all my nature refine. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. You know, sometime someone may come up to you and they'll say, I see Jesus in you. Or they may not be able to identify it, but they see something that impresses them. And we can just say, oh, it's not really me. It's the Lord who lives within me. He's the one that's making the difference. He's the one that's making the change. So don't you think it's wise of us to allow him to do that? And not only allow him, but to cooperate with him each and every day. I believe it's the wise thing to do, don't you? Amen. Let's pray together. We thank you, Lord, that you are changing us from glory to glory, that you're making us more like Jesus as we yield and submit and surrender our lives to you and our wills to you. We want to be more like him, Father. We want to have other people be able to see Jesus in us. We want to see the fruit of the Spirit being formed and grown within us so that everyone can say, I see that you are changing. You're not the way you used to be. You're better. So help us, Father, just to give the Holy Spirit the room, the opportunity, the cooperation to work in our lives to bring about that change in us. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.